Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Venerable Tom Dorian here.
Hello.
Including his voice.
Is the mic on?
The mic is on.
Awesome.
We had a little technical glitch last, I don't know if everyone noticed. You know what? No one's listening to this anyway, right?
No. Just, you know what? I actually got stopped in church the other day.
And said, hey, is there something wrong with your voice?
Yeah.
You got a frog in your throat or something.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, we had a little technical glitch on your mic and we didn't know it.
In fact, the lady, it's Lisa Massa, Robert Massa's wife.
Oh, yeah.
She teaches marriage.
Yep.
She used your material. I know. She used your material.
I know. She was telling me that. She went through our summer of holy matrimony and uses that. Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome.
That's really, really cool.
Great story.
You should too, everyone out there. Summer of holy matrimony. There's a whole series. I don't remember how we did 15. We did a whole bunch of shows.
It was a bunch.
Yeah, we went through the whole marriage
and
program.
And she was funny. She said, all I do is just plug it in, just wipe my hands and walk away. takes it from there.
Sip a little drink, little adult beverage.
I said, that's smart.
It's a great way to teach.
Yeah.
Anyway, we also have Ziggy Rodriguez here.
That's me.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. I want to make sure your mic's on. Everybody's mic's on.
It is.
Which means we got a buddy. We got to do like a genuine actual shout-out.
Oh, a shout-out to Walker Sims.
Now we can hear Walker
Actually,
Sims.
It was Walker, Scotty Sneed, Rob Hendry, all those guys.
Wait, so they weren't able to hear the shout-out?
No.
Really?
Can you believe Sam doesn't listen to the show?
He doesn't.
I'm stunned, Sam.
So I saw Walker at church, and I was like, hey, you got a shout-out in the last show. Tom brought you up. And so now he's... Now you're getting a shout-out, Walker.
Well, you had to... You can hear it, but you just have to lean in really hard. Crank up the radio.
I did repeat his name. But all that aside...
You got a double shout-out.
It's a double shout-out.
Yeah, it was actually a whisper-out and a shout-out. Now.
Yeah. And now you brought the Massa family into it.
There you go, man. You know? Big fans. So hello to everybody.
They're all getting gift cards to Skyline Chili.
That's an inside joke.
Okay, I'm going to tell everybody now. We were talking about Skyline.
You do it.
We were talking about Skyline before we started the show.
We were talking about Joey.
Yeah, my grandson.
I know.
Bess and I are driving in just a few minutes to go see him.
Yeah.
Hi, Bess. So we're looking forward to seeing little Joey. So let's get on with the show.
Let's do it.
I can get on the road. So here's the deal.
Speaking of wives,
we're talking about domestic church. Our last show, which you can hear some of it. Last show we talked about just the importance of domestic church, living as a domestic church, why that's so important. And then this show we promised that we would give some ways in which people could like incorporate domestic church into their home. How to make your home a church. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. Just so we're clear, that you're not making like make your own sacraments at home. It's not that, but you can incorporate sacramentals into your life, and that's an important thing to do because the sacramentals lead us to the sacraments. And also they're empowered essentially by the sacraments and the sacramental life. And so this brings you closer to God to live a sacramental life, right? Mm-hmm. With the sacraments that we get at the church proper. And then, of course, at our church home, we're reinforcing all that. We're mirroring, like I've said before, we're mirroring the church, the proper, by making our home a domestic church. And the church sees great value in this. A lot of people are like, well, what are the things that I can do? Well, I happen to have a list of 10 things you can do. And so we'll kind of just kind of buzz through those and chat about those. Now, I do want to set this up by saying that the majority of these things are things that would involve like having kids at home. But I don't want people who no longer have like little ones at home. Maybe the kids are all grown up and they've moved out. And also there are people that have extenuating circumstances where there are no children at home. But then also perhaps people are living marriages that didn't end well, and it's just there's all kinds of things there. You can still have a domestic church in your home, and you can look at some of these and you can start to apply some of them, and maybe not all of them will apply, but I think you can apply most of them. And then also I would just say for the folks that don't have little kids at home, you never stop being a parent.
Which we fall in that category, by the way.
Yes. Well, no, I got two at home. See, I've got Mary and I've got Emma. They're both at home.
Okay.
Now, Emma has now been officially asked to be a wife of a young man.
Oh, congratulations.
What? Emma?
I'm sorry, Mary.
Oh,
I can't keep her straight. I can't keep her straight.
Wow.
Best just rolled her eyes.
You stunned me. You stunned me.
Yeah, yeah, well, that would have been a stunning for me,
yeah,
too.
We'll save the other congratulations for Emma for when that
That's
time
right.
comes.
You know what? They both got four letters in their name. It's hard for me.
Was he quaking in his boots when he asked?
You know what? He might have been a little bit, but I don't think he was. I was very
That's
nice
good.
To him. Because I normally
you knew
would
it was
not.
Coming.
I would normally would not be nice to anybody. I'd use it as an opportunity, you know, and I said, no, I'm not doing that.
But,
not going to do it.
Here's something I want to throw out, which is, at the end of the day, like, obviously when we think of marriage, we think of marriage and family, and we think of children as being the natural fruit of marriage and the importance of raising children properly, right, within the church. But fundamentally, when you get married, your first job is getting each other into heaven, right? And that job never stops. So regardless of whether or not, you know, either your children are grown or children was just not a part of what, you know, the set of blessings that you were given
right.
within the context of your marriage, it doesn't change the fact that you're supposed to be focused on getting each other to heaven, and God's going to give you the grace to do that, and these can help. Regardless.
Well, on the very first thing on my list of 10 things,
yeah.
right, in domestic church, my domestic church to-do list, right, is I let people know that number one is fortify your marriage, because a domestic church begins when two people fall in love and get married. That's it, right? They become a domestic church without kids. You become a domestic church at that point, right? And that, like as you stated rightly, you have chosen wisely. That's a little shout out to Indiana Jones,
oh, yeah.
Temple of Doom. No, that's the third one. Whatever
that's that Last Crusade, yeah.
Last Crusade. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
You
we're
too.
Some nerds.
Oh, my gosh.
But the number one thing on the list is to fortify your marriage. You've begun a domestic church, and you need to make sure that's a strong bond. And so before you can do all the great things you're going to do with the kids, we're going to make arts and crafts, kind of like at Tom Dorian's house. We're going to do all these things, you know. We're going to make like little statues with toilet paper rolls, you know, like you did like in third grade. It's going to be awesome. And those are things you can do, but you've got to start with your family. In fact, one of the examples I give on this one is, you know how you get on, whenever you get on an airplane, you know, to fly, we've all heard the speech 1,000 times or however many times we've ever flown, you've heard the speech, you know, if there's a loss of cabin pressure and the masks, right, come down, it tells you to do what with the mask?
Put it on yourself first.
That's exactly right, because you're no good to anybody unless you've got the oxygen, right?
Right.
Well, it's the same kind of thing. How that applies to domestic church is you need to make sure that your marriage is healthy, right? You need to take care of your marriage, and there are things that there's lots of examples of things you can do, like going on date nights with no kids allowed, right? You pray as a couple, say I love you a lot, spend time with other married couples, and also going on a married couples retreat. Those are things that you can do as a couple. It's going to build your own marriage up. It's going to fortify your marriage so that you are ready, like, to help everybody else in the family. And it's a you can't do the thing where people every once in a while hear, like, well, we stayed together for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's not helping anybody. That's not a domestic church, right? And that can be a struggle. So the very first thing on the list is fortifying your own marriage. Second thing I'll have on the list, some of these are pretty, they're kind of obvious, I think, but they're not things that we always do. Like, one is pray as a family. And I got to be honest with you, you know, it's not easy to do because people think like, oh, yeah, we pray. But you can start simply.
I got to ask this.
What's that?
So your little note here says not long devotions.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Why?
Yeah.
This is for
this
the people.
This sounds like a Drzymskiism.
So this list is here for people that are struggling being a domestic church.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I would
keep
not,
it simple.
I would not, exactly. I would not, the KISS principle is at play here.
Yes.
I would not start with like, well, we did the litany of eternity, you know.
Right.
And the kids got really tired 6 hours into it. They were totally not focusing.
Right.
You know, so we had to stop the litany of eternity.
Right.
And you know, so
these, small steps.
Yeah, start. I mean, if you're going to do a rosary, do a decade of the rosary.
Well, I like something Matt Fred likes to share, which is, you know, he had on one hand wanted to do a rosary with his family, but on the other hand, he thought, oh man, I could never round up my kids to do a rosary. And so for a time, he looked at it as something aspirational, that one day we'll get the house together enough to where we can get together and pray a rosary. And he said one time he went to a friend's house, and it was all these little kids were like, we're going to pray a rosary. And the whole time during the rosary, it was an utter madhouse. And he was like, oh, well, I could do this.
Exactly. That is messy Catholic material right there. That's exactly right. Yeah, don't hold your expectations like all of a sudden there will be like these sort of, your kids are going to break into an angelic high C, you know, like the choir of angels.
You might have some revolt.
Yeah, and it's just not. It's going to be what it is.
Right.
And you just meet them where they are. They meet you where they are. And God meets you where you are. And everybody's okay. And starting simply. I mean, some things people do. They naturally do grace before meals. A lot of people do that. Mm-hmm. But just make a point of not starting to eat until you've done the grace. Or change up how you do it. Go around the table, especially with the little kids. They love, I always tell this story. We're getting ready to go see my son, Nicholas. He used to do when everyone would take a turn praying, okay, Nicholas, it's your turn. So Nicholas, he used to do the theme to Jurassic Park. I'm not kidding you. So it's like he'd be like, na, 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 na. That was his prayer. It was very solemn to him, very reverent. He did it so beautifully. So I don't know if there's a devotion to dinosaurs or who the patron of dinosaurs is, but they were connected. Nicholas was. But the thing is, there's beauty in that. There's simplicity and there's beauty. So doing like a simple morning offering, like I said, a decade of the rosary, doing bedtime prayers. Kids love to do the bedtime prayers, and then draw a little cross on their forehead. And you watch, if you've done it two or three or four or five times, they're really, don't forget, Daddy, don't forget to do the cross on my head, you know, things like that. They start to, now they grow up and things have to change, but at the end of the day, it's a beautiful thing. And then when we get in the car and head to Cincinnati today, later on, we're going to do the Angel of God prayer. It's just something we've always done. Or doing the sign of the cross when you're driving by a church. There are simple little things you can do, and you can expand those and make them bigger and eventually get, like the Dorians do, into long devotions.
Right.
You know, the Litany of Perpetuity, which is like the Litany of Eternity, not quite as long, but it's beautiful. Okay, so the third thing on my list is keep holy the Sabbath. We know that's one of the commandments. And we also know that we violate that commandment a lot.
I was going to say, it's hard to do sometimes.
It really is. And I don't even know the proper way to keep holy the Sabbath. And I know you're going to go like, wait, what? You don't know? They didn't teach you that in deacon school?
Deacon Jeff.
There's a challenge. I think everyone's like, well, what's too much? It's like, well, we're going to go out and have a nice breakfast with the family after Mass. Mm-hmm. And we're going to keep holy the Sabbath. Well, now I'm making these people work. Mm-hmm. So am I like keeping somebody else's Sabbath from being holy, you know, and leading them astray? And that's where it's dicey.
You could argue that.
Yeah, and there are people that do, and I guess, or am I doing any kind of servile work on? Well, I thought I'd go out and mow the yard, you know, me and my yard, and we'd be out there together. It's like, well, that's a little bit of work, and are we not supposed to? What are we supposed to do? You know. Mm-hmm. So I just tend towards holiness. I tend towards doing things that are focused on God, mm-hmm. right, and spending time. So I don't mind, like, during the football season, watching a football game, especially if there's some kids, like, if our family's there and we're rooting for a team or whatever. I don't see but again, we're making TV people work, mm-hmm. you know. So I don't want to get too persnickety about, like, all of that stuff and get very scrupulous about keeping holy the Sabbath, but I think that we can remind people that Sunday is the Lord's Day, and then we make sure that we're going to Mass as a family, as much as we can, and not splitting up, and because somebody's got soccer practice. That's something that kind of chaps my hide. I don't like,
yep.
like the especially like the church leagues and whatever. It's like, well, it's a great day, you know, because no one's doing anything, so we should have practice this afternoon, getting ready for the big game Monday night or whatever. And it's like, no, let's not. But one of the things we do as a family is when we moved out to out in the county a little bit, we started having Sunday night dinners, mm-hmm. and we just have them for anybody who's in town. They happen pretty much every single Sunday night. And the kids that can make it show up. And so sometimes we'll have a mighty swath of people. And
love
then
it.
Sometimes we'll just have a few. But we just make chili or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not Skyline chili, because that's not really chili. But we'll do that.
Just lost a huge audience base there.
I'm sorry. Is it Gold Star or is it Skyline? I don't know. That's a great question. For all the Cincinnati people are going, they're having a discussion now that everyone else is going like, what is he talking about?
I bet he has his chili from Wendy's.
Actually, I don't.
No,
Wendy does not make a good chili.
And one thing I want to add to this in terms of keeping holy the Sabbath, if we find ourselves having trouble doing that and arranging our Sundays in such a way we're ordered around God, we can also ask ourselves, hey, are there things on Saturday that I can do or earlier in the week to kind of clear the decks for Sunday? And then also on stuff that you might say,
prepare.
Oh, I need to do this and this and this and all this other to-do list stuff. Is it possible that getting up a little early on Monday, you can take care of that stuff too?
Or you can do those things on, like if you're running errands, that's when you go to Home Depot and Lowe's and whatever. Maybe that's when you do the garden stuff or whatever, and you do it on Saturday as best you can.
Yes.
Yeah, I could kind of pave in the way. That's a great preparing for it, and is a great way to do that. I think that's a good one. Also on Sunday, like visiting family or friends, going together as a group, you know, and spending time with other families is also a good thing. And then unplugging, like having some quiet time. And of all the days, I think Sunday after you, like if you do the vigil mass, the anticipatory mass on Saturday evening, sleep in on Sunday. If there's ever a day to sleep in, do that. Or get up, go to mass, come back, take a nice long nap. And there's nothing better than a good nap on a Sunday. So these are ways I think that you can have some downtime. Mm-hmm. And in that downtime, the whole idea is eventually in that downtime, you're going to spend some time thanking God for the great gift of life and for the world and for the blessing that he is to us. And so that's something you can do. Number four on my list is celebrate the liturgical year at home. Now, we pretty much have Christmas nailed. I mean, I think all of us have been to Hobby Lobby and have just bought out everything they have, and we'll dress to the nines and put up the Christmas trees and whatever. But there's actually liturgical seasons, and I'm talking about the liturgical colors, incorporating them into your house, into your home. That helps kids to see, like, and then doing things like having a Jesse tree, which we've never had. It's a challenge. Maybe we're going to try to have a Jesse tree next year during Advent, which is I read about the tradition. I've heard of them. Never done it before. Mm-hmm. But some people out there who are listening might do Jesse trees. I think it's a neat idea. But there's like this is how you start to build up your Advent. And because if we've already talked about things like wearing purple during Advent and Lent, you know, just starting to dress the colors of the season in your everyday garb. And then
you can have an Advent wreath
and actually light it.
Yes.
You know, instead of the ones that I
hang on the door.
Yeah. Or don't ever get lit.
Right.
Right. And the candles end up melting in the attic.
Right.
And so it's like, I think those are start to, and it's not just the ones we know, like Christmas, Easter, and Halloween. Mm-hmm. Right. Is maybe like, it's like, hey, it's green. It's ordinary time. And hey, it's the Paschal Triduum. I don't know. Just starting incorporating having decorations and things at home, and then like celebrating feast days and saints days, associating a saint's day with each one of your children, and having a special, you know, this is your saint name. You know, it's his feast day or her feast day. You get to have like a birthday dinner.
Well, also,
you know, whatever.
Great idea.
If cooking is a big part of your home. Too, there's traditional recipes associated with a lot of these saints' days, too, that you can look up online and it's stuff people have been doing for hundreds of years.
Yeah, so Christmas, I got like a bar book with all the drinks of the saints and has all these saints.
I had the same book. It's great.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's fun. It's fun to read anyway. Okay, so number one, fortify your marriage. Number two, pray as a family. Number three, keep holy the Sabbath. Number four, celebrate the liturgical year at home. And number five, decorate the home with sacred art and articles. Now, this one is kind of simple, but a lot of people don't decorate with, I mean, you know, you can go to Hobby Lobby and they have a lot of crosses there, but they're not necessarily sort of Catholic oriented, so you won't find it like many crucifixes, but going to your local Catholic bookstore, or even on Amazon, they're going to have lots of crucifixes. You should have a crucifix almost in every room. You should have your house put up saints' pictures. I love classical art, traditional classical art. And so I will have pictures and have them framed nicely and have them up on the wall, just and little statues. Where I mean, I like to go to yard sales, and amazingly, people get rid of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, when someone passes away, they're like, "What are we doing with Grandma's statue collection?" Mm-hmm. Look, here comes Deacon Jeff. He's going to end up buying them all, and maybe giving them to friends as gifts or other family. But putting those around your house, it's just a constant reminder. You're turning your home into a church. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize that, like, churches are decorated. And there's a reason, and it shouldn't just be at church. It should be in your daily life, right?
You could have a prayer room or a prayer section or...
Yeah, you could have a like a little holy, little prayer
a closet.
Area. Yeah. Set up a little shrine to a particular saint. Mm-hmm. That would be wonderful. I think it's a great idea. I used to think it was disrespectful to hang a rosary in your car. I don't anymore. I think actually it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't get a really fancy rosary, but you get those little wooden rosaries or whatever, the Jerusalem wood. There's all kinds of stuff, and just put it in your car. It's a constant reminder while you're driving what not to do to other drivers, right? You know, it's just a constant reminder that God loves you.
We need that.
Yeah, we do need that. Number six, so practicing acts of charity as a family. Now, the as a family is a really important little add-on to that, because a lot of times parents are doing charitable things. Well, we got to go help, you know, feed the hungry people, and we're going to go put some, bags of rice together or whatever for this drive, a food drive. We're going to run the coat drive at the parish, and the kids are not there to be seen, right? Mm-hmm. Because they had their other things they wanted to do, and mom and dad went and did this, and that's nice, but you need to do things as a family. Mm-hmm. And even if it's things like mowing the elderly person's yard next door, do it as a family. It's okay if dad does that, and if you're doing that as your personal penance, and you're just trying to do that, and that's something that you're going to do, and you're not like telling everybody you're doing it, that's fine. Don't stop doing that. But at the end of the day, let your kids in on it.
And ask permission first, otherwise they might say, "Get off my lawn!"
Well, and it might be their 30-year-old rose garden you just mowed down.
That
would be not so good. But, you know, making a meal, taking meals to people that are grieving, or that they have a new child, a new baby, or somebody's in the hospital or whatever. And it's like, it's amazing how little signs like that, but involve the family. Let the kids help you cook. That may be not a great idea at certain ages, but also just letting them be part of that. Number seven is actually quite simple, but it's falling out of fashion, and that is eating meals together as a family. We do a lot of, and some, maybe you just start with just doing dinner. That's the one time typically people are starting to come home, and kids got their own thing to do. They all want to go to, Raising Cane's or whatever and have their chicken, and they all want to go, whatever they're going to go and eat, or they're going to go hang out, and it's not cool to be with the family, but you need to start just trying to bring that tradition back. When I was growing up, we always had. Did y'all always have family dinners?
Oh,
I mean, every
legendary,
night, right? It was, but every night,
all the meals were that way.
My family's always prioritized those too,
and that's awesome. But see, a lot of people don't, and
they really
a lot
don't.
Of them, and the kids are out, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying they're bad kids and you're a bad family, but I'm saying this is something that when you do, you get back into the family groove, and this is how you have church at family. You can't have a very good church if there's nobody attending,
right?
Right, and so eating, you know, and don't try to do all meals. It's like, well, I made breakfast this morning, and now I'm making lunch, and now I'm making dinner. And everyone goes like, you need to back off just a little bit. Start slowly.
Yeah.
Right. Reintroduce that, and then praying grace together as the family, you know, and then taking away the cell phones at the table.
Yep.
Do all these things a little step at a time, mm-hmm. you know, but it's all possible. And it's going to pay off dividends in terms of domestic church. Reading scripture together. Again, that's number eight. Reading scripture together is another one where you're not all going to sit around the fire and read the Bible. Mm-hmm. But you can do things like start traditions like we did with reading the Christmas story on Christmas Eve, mm-hmm. Maybe reading the Passion on Good Friday and things like that. There are things that you can do as a family, and just little bits, and leave the Bible out and leave the Bible open and pick it up every once in a while. Let the kids see you read it, and maybe you invite them, especially when they're little, they will read it with you. They will love story time with the Bible. You know, get them a kid's Bible and let them read their Bible to you, And then you put your Bible down and you go with their Bible. And it's amazing how they now it becomes part of something. Mm-hmm. And scriptures where God has always revealed himself through the prophets, the Old Testament, but then also in the New Testament and all the letters and certainly the Gospels. And this is where we know the story of Jesus. And we don't want to make it just at Mass. Mm-hmm. We want to make it at home as well. So reading scripture together as a family. So serve in parish life together. I recently did a mission on domestic church, and I saw an entire family. The dad and two kids were actually servers. Mom was a lector. But people running the different little volunteer tables and sign-ups and whatever, do that as a family in your parish. Be active in your parish. And then the last thing on my list, number 10, have your home blessed by a priest or deacon. Simple little step. A lot of people don't do it. You know, get the priest or the deacon in there to bless the house. And now, 10 things later, you have a domestic church at your home. Fortify your marriage, pray as a family, keep holy the Sabbath, celebrate the liturgical year at home, decorate the home with sacred art and articles, practice acts of charity as a family, eat meals together as a family, read scripture together, serve in parish life together, and have your home blessed by a priest or a deacon. These are surefire ways in which you can actually have church at home. And you're better prepared to be having church at church, like in the church proper, when you already have that mindset. You already have that holy family. Like, we're trying to live like the holy family. I would imagine that the domestic church with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph was a really good one.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And this is what we strive to do and what we strive to be. And this is what God intends for families. This is why we live in families. This is why we're called to love each other, to be married as a family, start a domestic church, and then live that domestic church out with our children. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at The Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.